This audio presentation is the teaching of Pastor Scott Sharoma of New Hope East Hawaii. In this week's message entitled The Power of Forgiveness, Pastor Scott reminds us why we need to forgive and the benefits of doing so. This message was delivered on June 24th, 2018. Here now is Pastor Scott.
Amen.
We can do a kachi-kachi gospel.
Oh, kachi-kachi gospel. And then we're going to all be dancing, right? Yeah, well, it's so nice to be here. I'm getting better from my cold, which I got from the mainland. I don't know. I think I got it on the plane, but I'm getting much better quicker. So thank you for all your prayers. Man, it's so just so good to be here. I kept getting up last night. I think I got up at 11, I got up at 2, and I got up at 3, and I kept thinking, like, it must be time to get up already to come to church. And then finally, like, 3:30, I got up, 4 o'clock, I got up, 4:15, I got up, 4:30, I got up. Finally, my alarm went off. It's like, okay, I really need to get up and go. But I don't know, and each time I was getting up, man, I was like, Holy Spirit, I really, really need you. Because when I first got up, I wasn't sure what day it was. And then when I realized it was Sunday, I was like, oh, my goodness. Oh. Yeah, but it's so good to be here. Welcome everyone here. It's nice to be worshiping with all of you this morning. Well, today, wow, what a message about forgiveness. And, you know, there is so much power, there's so much freedom in forgiveness. And, you know, if you know anybody who's holding on to bitterness and just is not willing to forgive, you can see it, and it kind of hurts, because you know what forgiveness is about, you know what it does. And when you see people hanging on to it, it's kind of painful. I have some relatives, an uncle and a cousin, and they haven't talked for years. And it's so sad that I look at my uncle and I look at my cousin and her husband and their daughter, and he's mad at her for I have no idea what reason. And he has no contact with them and no contact with their granddaughter. And I'm thinking, like, this girl is gonna grow up not knowing her grandpa. And the grandpa is growing up not knowing his granddaughter. And just because of something that may have happened in the past, and I don't know what it was. And I look at that, and I'm so sad that, you know, a relative of mine is like hanging on and not willing to forgive. And it kind of breaks my heart, and I'm thinking, like, man, wow, what could have been so bad that you hang on and you just don't want to talk to your child? It's painful. If I was going there, I don't think I could handle being like that. I know growing up and watching my kids grow up, and sometimes, you know, you fly off the handle, and, you know, you get those outbursts of anger every so often, and I yell at my children, and, oh, I feel so bad. And as soon as I can, as soon as I catch myself, I ask for forgiveness, because it was wrong. And when you can do that, it's a very powerful thing. When my oldest brother came to know Jesus, and this is when I was a young kid, and he would come up to me and he would ask me, Scott, can you forgive me? And I thought, wow, this is kind of weird, man. You know, because I wasn't going to church, so I never knew all these things about forgiveness and all that. But he would ask me, hey, can you forgive me? And I was thinking, like, what you talking about? You know, because all the times that they beat me up, which was a lot, yeah. That's why I have this complex, you know, bullied complex. Bullied by your two brothers. And, you know, he would ask me, can you forgive me? And it's like, felt so weird, like, what's going on? But when he came to know Christ, there was a change in his heart. And he understood, I think, maybe that bullying me was not right. So he would ask me for forgiveness, and I would feel kind of weird and say, yeah, whatever. But then when I came to know Jesus as my Lord and Savior, then after walking with Christ, you kind of understand why Christians ask for forgiveness. And it's a burden lifted off of us. It just feels so good. And there's so much power in forgiveness. And sometimes we may think, oh, you know, I've done this and I've done that and I've been this. And you look at your past and you think, like, no way could God forgive me because I've done bad things. I mean, sometimes, how many of you have done bad things in your past? Yeah, there were those of you who are not raising your hand. We'll talk about lying later on. Yeah. And sometimes we like, how could somebody forgive me for what I've done? And believe me, I need to ask for so much forgiveness because I've done so many bad things. And every time I see people who I've done bad things to, I still say sorry. And sometimes the things, they may not think of it as bad things. You know when you're like 21 and you got somebody who's 15 years old and you're drinking with them and I got to say, you know what, forgive me for those things because it was wrong. And so I have a lot to be asking for forgiveness, a lot of people, and especially God. But here is number one on your point, number one on your bulletin. I am forgiven. You have to understand that once you ask for forgiveness, the Lord will forgive you. 1 John 1:9. It's in your bulletin. How many of you have your bulletin? How many of you don't have a bulletin? Okay, our greeter did a very good job today. Thank you, Don. You made sure everybody got a bulletin. Good job. Okay, so open your bulletin. Now, this is something that you should memorize. 1 John 1:9. And can we read that together? Okay, ready, go. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Okay? If we confess our sins, who? God is faithful and righteous to forgive us of our sins. Okay? He will forgive us. He doesn't say he might forgive us. You know, like sometimes when somebody offends us, we might forgive them, you know. I'll think about it, yeah. But God doesn't think about it. Bless you. God doesn't think about it. If we confess our sins, God is faithful. And he will. I don't care what you have done. He will forgive you and he will cleanse you. If we acknowledge our iniquity, he will forgive us. He will have his grace and his mercy. It's a promise. John writes that God is faithful. He will cleanse us. It's a promise. Psalms 32:5. I acknowledge my sin to you. Capital Y, you to God, and my iniquity I did not hide. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the guilt of my sins. Now the psalmist here, he experienced forgiveness when he acknowledged his sin. Some of, you know some people, they say like, oh, I don't sin. You come across those people who are like, no, I don't sin. But the Bible says all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. All have sinned. So if somebody tells you I don't sin, well, they're either lying or they don't understand the Bible. But when we acknowledge our sin and we ask for forgiveness, God will do so. in Micah 7:19, He will again have compassion on us. He will tread our iniquities underfoot. Yes, you will cast all their sins into the depths of the sea. Isn't that great? When we confess, He'll throw all of that sins, no more to be remembered, in the depths of the sea. Maybe that's why the ocean is getting polluted. Yeah. Because of all of our sins in there. We need to know and understand that when we confess, God will forgive us. Not might, but He will forgive us. So just as we confess and are forgiven, number two, I need to forgive. Mark 11:25, whenever you stand praying, forgive. If you have anything against anyone, to that your Father who is in heaven will also forgive you your transgressions. So whenever we stand praying, we think, oh, shoot, I offended somebody. I cut them off. I took their parking stall. I ate their last donut. Oh, yes. Or you did something. You go and remember that. You ask for forgiveness. Matthew 6:15. But if you do not forgive others, then your Father will not forgive you your transgression. So Matthew here does not teach that our eternal destiny is based on forgiving other people. However, Matthew does teach that our relationship with God could be damaged if we refuse to forgive those who have offended us. And how many of you have not been offended? We all been offended by someone, right? Whether our children, our spouse, our neighbor, our co-worker. I think every day somebody offends us. Every day when I drive, somebody offends me. Every day when I drive, I'm behind the slowest car. I mean, or every day, somebody behind me is tailgating me. Every day there's an offense. Every day there needs to be forgiveness. Amen? The Bible is clear that God pardons sin by His grace based on Christ's work on the cross alone. Our right standing before Him is established by one thing only, His finished work on the cross. In Matthew 6, here Jesus is teaching His disciples how to pray. And in doing this prayer, He outlines how you and I can be restored into an intimacy with God whenever you and I have displeased Him, whenever we have committed sin. Jesus instructs us to build into our prayers. He instructs us to build into our prayers to ask for forgiveness and for us to grant forgiveness, that we would be forgiven and that we will forgive others who have done harm to us. And that's part of what it is. To emphasize the importance of restoring that broken relationship with our brothers or sisters, Jesus states that asking God for forgiveness for our sin and granting others forgiveness from their sins against us. In Matthew 18:23-25, and when you read this story, kind of gets your blood to boil because you can get mad. And Jesus said, therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants and began the settlement. A man who owed him 10,000 talent, which is megabucks, was brought to him. And since he was not able to pay, he never had the money, the master ordered that he and his wife and his children and all that he had be sold to repay his debt. Now this servant fell on his knees before him. He said, be patient with me, he begged, and I will pay back everything. The servant's master took pity on him, canceled the debt, and let him go. Isn't that like a story of what Jesus did for us? But when that servant went out and he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii, which is not that much, he grabbed him and began to choke him. Pay back what you owe me, he demanded. His fellow servant fell on his knees and begged him, be patient with me and I will pay you back. So this guy did the same thing that he did to his master. But he refused. Instead, he went off and had the man thrown into prison until he could pay that debt. Doesn't that make you mad? You know, like you're driving. You let somebody cut in front of you. And when somebody wants to cut in front of them, they don't let it go. Gets you mad. Like, oh, bro, I let you in. You should let somebody else in. Right? It's like that. It's like, get you mad. And when the other servants saw what had happened, they were greatly distressed and went and told their master everything that had happened. Then that master called the servant in. He said, you wicked servant, he said, I canceled all that debt of yours because you begged me. Shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant just as I had mercy on you, just as I had on you? In his anger, the master turned him over to the jailers to be tortured until he should pay back all that he owed. This is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you unless you forgive your brother. Unless you forgive your brother from your heart. And you think about it. You and I confessed our sins. God wiped that out. That great amount of sin. The wages of sin is death. We were all doomed to die. And God forgave us this great amount. Now, shouldn't we extend that grace to those who have offended us? Your children, your ex-spouse, brother, sister, your parents, your friends. Maybe someone stole your spouse and you're mad. And yeah, you have every right to be mad. And there's bitterness. But there's also forgiveness. And that's what we are required to do. And if we don't do that, then we would be like this servant. And it may be hard. And yes, it may be impossible in your flesh, on your own. But with the power of the Holy Spirit, you can and you should be able to forgive others. Amen? Number three, there is freedom in forgiveness. Man, if you're like many people, you may want to be free from the past offenses. And if you have confessed your sins and somebody keeps bringing it up to you, don't listen to that voice. That is not the voice of God. That is the voice of the devil. He is trying to keep you back there, oppressed. He is trying to keep you oppressed from that past sins which you have forgiven. He's trying to hold it. Oh, no, you can't serve God because you did this. Don't listen to that voice. But if you want to be free, you know, if you want to be free, because we can still carry bitterness and memories of feelings of people who have wronged you, take comfort. Forgiving even the worst offense against you is not impossible. You can find freedom from the past and peace that comes from God by learning to really, really forgive from your heart. Galatians 5:1. It was for freedom that Christ set us free. Therefore, keep standing firm and do not be subject again to a yoke of slavery. You know, when we refuse to give, to forgive, it's like we're being oppressed by that other person. We're allowing that other person to have like some kind of power over our lives. You know, they will determine sometimes, I don't want to go there because that person hangs out there. You see them in the store and you avoid them. You want to go somewhere else. And unwillingly, you let them control your lives. I mean, can you imagine the feeling of living life without any grudges? Without having, you know, when you see that person who did you wrong, and you can go up to them and give them a hug and say, God bless you. I love you. Can you imagine living in that freedom? And not having to carry anything over, that carrying that extra baggage with you. I mean, don't tell me that you've been carrying grudges for so long that you're strong because you're carrying all this weight. Doesn't work like that. It's not like lifting weights. It's like carrying extra baggage that you don't have to carry. And when you can forgive others, it will give you this freedom. It'll get rid of that excess baggage, that extra burden that you've been carrying. When you learn to forgive, we can live with so much peace and so much freedom. That is how God intended us to live. And number four, hey, forgiveness is for me. Forgiveness is a choice that you get to make. You don't have to make it. You get to make it. It's a decision of your will, motivated by obedience to God. Okay? It's a choice motivated by obedience to God. And the Bible instructs us to forgive just as the Lord forgave us. Hebrews 12:15. See to it that no one comes short of the grace of God, that no root of bitterness springing up causes trouble, and by it many are defiled. You know, if you hang on to bitterness, it will take root in your heart, and it'll grow and grow and grow and grow, and you will become a bitter person. It starts in a small root growing into a great tree. Bitterness springs up in our heart. That's why the Bible says, guard your heart with all diligence, for flow it from the springs of life. you know, we got to make sure that we remove that root of bitterness that sometimes gets set in our hearts. It's like a poison that controls us. When it comes to these things, we allow things to happen. When something happens, when someone offends us, it's our choice to dwell on it and let it sink in into our hearts, or to get rid of it as fast as you can and forgive and move on. If we nursed our grudges and we hang, you know, sometimes we just want to hang on. We wanna punish our spouse and say, you know what? You deserve to be punished for a day, so I am going to be mad at you for a day. We hold on to that grudge, and we let it take root in our hearts. Next thing you know, it starts to grow and grow and grow. You know, it's been said by many times by many people, forgiveness is not for the offender. It is for us, the offended. It's not for the other person, it's for us. Because when we forgive, we are set free. The other person moved on a long time ago, and we just hang on to it. Don't know why. But we think it feels good. We think it feels good to hang on to bitterness. It feels much better to let it go, move on, and just have a clean slate. Psalms 32, 3 and 4. When I kept silent about my sin, my body wasted away. Through my groaning all day long, for day and night, your hand was heavy upon me. My vitality was drained away as with fever and heat of summer. Man, when this person kept silent about their sins, did not confess, he was weakened physically, grieved inwardly, and the hand of God was upon him heavy, and he wasted away. We cannot live like this. We cannot live by not confessing our sins and realizing that we got to understand that we can be forgiven. If we confess, we got to understand that as we are forgiven, we need to forgive others. And we have to live that way in freedom. And here's the thing, the application. Forgiveness may not be easy, but it is necessary. And it has great benefits. It's beneficial to each and every one of us. And when we can live this way, there'll be peace, there'll be freedom, and we can be obedient to what God commands us to do. Life can be so much better. Amen? So as you go through your day, through your week, understand the power, the great power there is in forgiveness. And if there is anybody that you need to ask forgiveness of, do so. Don't wait another day, a moment. After church, call them up and say, you know, I'm sorry. Can you please forgive me? And that burden would be lifted. That freedom, that peace would be so, so worth it. Amen. I'm going to ask the worship team to come up. You know, for one thing, we need to do is ask Jesus to forgive us. We ask Jesus to forgive us, to cleanse us, to forgive us our sins. And we ask him to come into our lives. And that is like the first most important step in walking with the Lord. So I'm going to ask you to bow your heads and close your eyes and pray this prayer with me with your heads bowed and your eyes closed. It goes like this. Heavenly Father, thank you for Jesus. I repent of my sins and I turn to you. Come live in me. Change me. Cleanse me. Make me the person you want me to be. I receive you, Jesus, as my personal Lord and Savior. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed, if you prayed that prayer for the first time, would you hold up a hand? I want to pray for you. Anybody out there? Anybody out there who said yes to Jesus? God bless you back there. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Anybody else? You may put your hands down. Lord, you have seen the hands. And they have confessed to you that you would forgive them. They have asked you to be the Lord of their lives. So, Lord, I pray that we would help them grow, help them walk with you, disciple them as you mold them into your image. We thank you so much that we get to worship you and we find strength, we find power in forgiveness. Lord, thank you for forgiving us of our sins. We pray this in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Right, would you stand and we're going to sing.
You've been listening to Pastor Scott Sharoma of New Hope East Hawaii. New Hope East Hawaii meets each Sunday at 9 a.m. at Christian Liberty Academy, 16-675 Milo Street in Keaau, Hawaii. For more information, call us at 808-936-6651 or visit www.newhopeeasthawaii.com.